Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet. For the next 1 hour and 45 minutes, we give you Chaplain John Durden. There will be no questions and no answers. Once he says amen, the sermon will be over. Without further ado, Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. This is Brother John coming at you once more. It's a pleasure to have you listening tonight. The Lord want me to do, an update on heaven, the eternal home of the saved. He want me to describe your future home. It's called heaven, the eternal home of the saved. Praise the Lord. The eternal. So he wants to know something about it. He didn't tell me everything about it. But what I got, I'm satisfied with what he gave me, him and the Holy Spirit. I'm happy with that. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And Lord, I also pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me to teach your word with some clarity, simplicity, and boldness. And Father God, also, may all our minds, that is the listeners, and myself, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son Jesus, the Messiah, the world's Redemptor. I pray that your words will bring salvation, will bring healing and deliverance to all here in your presence this evening. And it's in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus of Nazareth, my Redeemer, I pray. Amen. And amen. All right, I know, you know, every night somebody's always, it's for the first time, and I fear maybe somebody don't know who I am. So I'll give you just a little one-minute rundown of myself. First of all, my name is John Durden. And about 3 months ago, I turned 80. Can't believe the time going by that fast. 80 years old. I can't believe it. Oh, no more time to check out. But anyway, while I was at school, I have three master's degrees. I have a master's degree in personnel administration. That's human resources, where you hire people for federal jobs. For 30 years, I was hiring federal employees for federal positions within the federal government for 30 long years. And 2 years before I retired, the Lord called me into the ministry, so I started going to evening classes at the seminary. While at the seminary, I acquired two master's degrees, one in counseling, Christian counseling, and the ultimate one is a master's in theology. As a result of that degree, I became a chaplain, hospital chaplain, after I retired as a human resources director. And I was a chaplain for 20 years. 30 years, I was working with the federal government as a recruiter, hiring people for better positions. Then the last 20 years, I was a chaplain at the major hospital here in Atlanta. Now, before I do, I want to relate some scriptures to you that relates to this session tonight on heaven. The first one comes from 1 John, verses 12 and 13. I can understand that because that scripture talk about how to get saved by accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not joining the church. Joining the church is a good thing. That's where you'd be taught by the pastor and associate pastors, you know. But to be saved, join the church doesn't save. Join the church is as a result of your salvation. John 1:12. Let me read that to you. John 1:12. And it reads, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he gave them right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. He's not just another man or religious nutcase who think he's Jesus and all this other kind of stuff, but he's a real deal. He is the Son of the living God, our Savior. Okay? John 1:12 just basically said we must receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. He didn't say just join the church. That's good. But, you know, we need the church so we can be full with the Word of God. And God bless those ministers every week. They be preparing new sermons so you get saved and get touched by the Lord. And I just thank the Lord for all his appointed ministers who are listening tonight, who has been called to preach the Word of God as well as to teach the Word of God. The next scripture he gave me was John 5, verse 24. It says this, verse 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. That's Jesus speaking. He said, truly, truly, I say to you that who hears my word and believes him who sent me, someone believes him, he's talking about his Father God, who believes my Father who sent me has eternal life, must believe, and does not come into judgment, but have passed of death in life, but has passed out of death into life. Praise the Lord. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. And then the angels are going to escort us up into our new heavenly home. All right, that would be, I read first John 1:12 and John 5:24. The next one is John 14. And these are scriptures that are given to me by the Lord. Our Holy Spirit went out to do. I'm still trying to distinguish the voices when I get an inclination to do something. John, the 14th chapter. And it reads as follows. 14 verses 1, 2, and 3. It says this. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Now, this is Jesus talking, okay? He says, do not let your heart be troubled, y'all. Believe in God. Also, believe in me. In my Father's house, he's talking about heaven now, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. Then verse 3 says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord. And when disciple said, and you know the way where I'm going. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So, you know, religion don't save anybody. It was Jesus who died, of course. It wasn't the Baptist, it wasn't the Catholic. It wasn't, all the different denominations. It was Jesus who died on the cross, not a denomination. But the denomination that does not teach Jesus is our Savior, 10, that's just a waste of time. Okay, and he said, I am the way and the truth and the life, because I'm going to die on the cross. Not Methodist, not Baptist, not Catholic, not Seventh-day Adventist, not none of that. I'm the one that died on the cross, okay? And he has saints in each one of these churches, and he got hellions in each one of these churches. You got the, just like police officers, you got the good police officers, and you got the bad ones who go around killing people unnecessarily. Same thing applies with ministers, with doctors. You got efficient doctors. When you look at these doctors graduating from any medical school, it's going to be somebody who graduated top of their class, but guess who else can graduate? Somebody who graduated the bottom of their class, but they're still a doctor. And you call him doctor and everything, you still know that's a dude has graduated the bottom of his class. But you see him, hey, doctor, oh, great doctor, you're so good to me, you know. So you got the good and bad in all professions. All right, that was John, the 14th chapter, and verses 1 and 3, where it says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, many, many dwelling places. And if not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Praise the Lord. The next one comes from Hebrews. Let me go to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 14. The 4th chapter, verse 14, reads as follows. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, meaning Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, meaning plural. You got a first, second, and third heaven. The first heaven is right above us where the airplanes and all fly. The second heaven is out of space where all the planets are and so forth. And then you got the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God. So let me read verse 14 again. See, therefore, since we have a great high priest, that is Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, all three to get back home, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Okay, that was Hebrew. Okay, let's see, which one I want to go now? I want to go to back to Revelation. Go all the way back to the Bible. Revelation. Well, Revelation, I got Revelation 7:9 too. It says this. And after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count from every nation, that all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb. clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Amen, amen, amen. Do I have another one more, one more, one more? That was Revelation 7. Okay, Revelation 7. Oh, okay, Revelation 7, verse 9. No, I got that one. Revelation 21. Revelation 21 says this. 21, okay, 1 through 4 says this. It's the title of it is called The New Heaven and the New Earth. The New Heaven and the New Earth. Verse 1 in chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I'm wiping away all the sea. Got to make more room for all those people and lands and everything else and wipe out that sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. Praise the Lord. And God himself will be among the people. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. The only thing that stirred me about that one, I mean, I love it to death. There'll be no more pain, no more crying. But I'd be thinking, I go, you see, I shouldn't be doing that thing. Go, that's flesh. Because I'd be thinking about, suppose your mother and you get saved, and your mama never gets saved. She was drinking, messing around, just going to church, just putting up and just talking behind the preacher's back, behind his back, and all this stuff. And you watching that, but you got saved. And then your mama get killed in an automobile accident. Now, when you, now you go, oh, my God, my mama, go, she never accepted Jesus. She just played games. And I see her being cussing on the phone, talking about the preacher doing this and the preacher doing that and all that stuff. And so I'm thinking, how can that child, that daughter, when she her time's coming, she go up in heaven, how can she not cry about her mama? Because she know her mama ain't there, because she know mama going to be with Satan. And, how, and the Bible said there'll be no more crying, no more sadness. And I'm trying to figure out. That's a mistake trying to figure out, right? How can mama be happy up there? When the child is up there, and how can he be happy knowing mama's in hell? You know, kind of a thing. But I don't know. I don't know. The only thing I can, I'm not God, y'all. I just want to say that I wouldn't be surprised God would erase the memory of that child's mother, father, brother, or sister, so that person won't be sad, because the Bible said there ain't gonna be no sadness, no crying. Now, you, if you know your brother or your dad's robbing the store and he got killed by the police or whatever, and you know he was cheating on mama, cheating on dad and stuff like that, and he died, ain't no way in the world gonna be in heaven. And so when that person, when that child dies and go in heaven, he might see auntie, grandmama, granddaddy and all this, but he won't see his daddy. He or she won't see her daddy. And how can she be happy? Oh, my daddy's in hell, you know, kind of a thing. One thing I know is God got to erase the memory, but God got his way. That was my little fleshly thinking. Okay, Revelation 21:1. Okay, I said that. And then I want to do 2 and 3. Say, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. I want to back up for a minute. It says, the word says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Well, I want to add one word to it. And behold, a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men and a woman. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, for the first thing hath passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write these things, these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God or her God, and he or she will be my son. For the cowardly and unbelieving and abominables and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, you know what? That is the second day. I kind of got kind of disturbed about that lie. I go, what? You mean a person doesn't lie? He's still good. She's still going to hell. So what I did, I got all my Bibles and even all the books I had on the Bible, dictionaries and all that. And I say, where can I find liar in the Bible? Man, I must have found about, I don't know, 14, 15 scriptures that talk about liar. And do you know all I'm referred to, they're going to hell? You know, like in Revelation 21:8, it said, along with the perverts or the sodomites and the queers and the homosexuals, the lesbians, who else? All of them, liars and killers and backstabbers and all these stuff. And it got liars in that same group. I said, "Hey, dog, give me, tell me I can tell some little lies every now and then. That's the only bad thing I did in that day. I'm going to hell." And my pastor said, "Look at the word, John." He said, "Can I give you a little hint?" I go, "Yeah." He said, "There's no such thing as a big sin, a little sin. Sin is sin." I said, I got you. Lord. I should never look at it that way. There's no such thing as a big sin, a little sin. Well, all I told was a little lie. And even when you're exaggerating something to make yourself look big, that's a lie undercover. I said, my God, I got to watch my mouth now. And it's really hard. You know, because sometimes somebody, did you do this, Brother John? Did you so? Yeah. And then as soon as they walk away, I said, forgive me, Lord. I lied. I'm not going to get caught short going to hell because I lied. But that's what God does not distinguish. What is a big sin and what's a little sin and what's a middle sin? He said, sin. So he knows no lie is going to get into heaven. And so I think I feel led by the Holy Spirit to bring that one out, because probably a bunch of you think the same thing. So, oh, man, all that told was no lie. All it did was exaggerating was a lie, too. And the Bible, the word, not John, but the Bible. Look at Revelation 21:8. Revelation 21:8. Couple that lie along with other serious sins. But it says there's no difference in degree. If you're a killer and you're a cab driver, or you just got through raping a woman, getting in the cab to go home, and then somebody just told a couple of lies, all of that, and that gives an automobile accident, guess what? They're both going to be judged. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Nothing unclean coming to my kingdom. I didn't die for the hell of it. Nothing unclean, not even a liar, will enter my kingdom. Wow. Okay. One more. Which one is that, Lord? Okay. I did 21, 1 through 4. Then I got an 8 sticking out at me. Oh, yeah, I got it. Verse 8 said, but for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominables and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, L-I-A-R-S, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And you know what I do to cover my tail? Before I go to bed every night, you know, because we all don't know the Bible from A to Z perfectly. We're still learning as we age in the Word. So what I do to cover my butt, I just say, Lord Jesus, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I test all my sins, because I dread the loss of heaven, pains of heaven. Most of all, I offended thee. But Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, you know I'm not an expert in the Word of God. I may have exaggerated, and I may have lied, and I want you to forgive me for all the lies that I thought I said undercover. Because you know what I'm telling little tail. So please forgive me for every sin. This is the way I cover it. Every sin that I committed, known and unknown, because I am not a perfect person who know that Bible from A to Z. I'm still learning. So whatever I did, I ask that you forgive me, because I don't want no surprises. I don't want to die in my sleep. And then an angel come and say, John. And I go, yeah. I look back at my body dead in the bed. And that angel say, come on, we got to go. Praise Jesus. Because don't you know the word says, it's appointed all men to die, and after that, the judgment. And I go, oh, Lord, I look back and see my body laying on the bed like it's still sleeping. And then that angel grabbed me and shoop, and sent me right in heaven in a couple of seconds. And Jesus looked at me and said, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Man, I don't want to hear nothing like that from the Lord. Not me. I ain't going to hell with nobody. You know? I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious. I mean, I have women, when I was in the hospital and stuff like that, working, and sometimes and they make a passage to me, hi, John. Guess what? I live by myself now, you know. I go, well, good for you, you know. I say, take care. She come see me sometime. I say, I don't think so, honey. Sometime I just ignore that girl in here. Because you know my saying is, ain't no vagina in this world or any butt worth my spending eternity in hell. I don't care how fine that woman look. I don't care how old she is. I don't care how beautiful her complexion and hair and all and eyes and all that. John Dirt ain't going no. And they send me to my, I got you, fool. Welcome down here and hell with me. That kind of crap. Mm-mm. I ain't hearing no stuff like that. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I ain't no dummy. That's for sure. And then the last one, last two, Revelation 21:10. What does 10 say? Oh, and it says this. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like a very costly stone, and stone crystal clear as jasper. And then the last verse, which one is that one? Verse 22, 27. Okay. All right, here you go. This is the last one. These are the scriptures that the Lord gave me because they all deal with heaven. All right. 22. Okay. And I saw a temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of the sun, nor the moon, to shine on it. For the glory of God has illuminated it, and its Lamb is the Lamb of God, Jesus. The nations will walk by its light, y'all, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory to it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying. Look, there's lying again. This is verse 27. It says, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abominations. You know, abomination is all kind of evil crap. And lying, L-Y-I-N-G, shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. The Lamb is Jesus. But there's that line again. Man, that stung me because I was good at that because I always believed in protecting myself. John Durbin, especially when I worked with federal government, and I was the first black that worked in that office. They had 300 people, and they didn't want to hire me, you know. But God intervened because God woke me up one day and told me to go out to Fort McPherson and get a job, apply for a job. And I go, okay, Lord, because I prayed the night before I went to bed, and I said, I need a job, you know, now. I said, I'm out of the military, and I need a job. And God put me right back in the military, but not as a soldier, but as a federal employee. And I thought, I was hearing things. So I said, I'll go anyway. Do you know when I walk in the door, look like all them white folks swore when I walk in the door. Seemed like they all said, praise the Lord, because they're being threatened about being dismissed from their job. 300 employees working in that personnel office, in that big old building. And didn't have one black. I was the first one. And I caught hell for the first 6 months when I was there. Nobody won't speak to me. When they go out to lunch, they won't say, hey, John, come go with us. So I brought my own lunch. And sometimes I just get in my car and drive up to Posey and go to one of the hamburger places. And then finally, they acclimated and say, you know, he's not a bad guy. And before I know it, they started befriending me and taking me to lunch with them and everything like that, see? And then when my birthday came, they always get birthday cards. Do you know, I got a birthday card from all 300 of folks in that office. That's how much they took a liking to me. Because usually, if I'm a supervisor and I got four people working for me in my shop, then if somebody having a birthday, then me and the supervisor, we have to fill out the birthday card, and then I have the other four people who work in that section with me to sign. Then you have five names on that card. But I got 300 separate birthday cards. I go, thank you, Lord. You gave me faith. You gave me faith. Okay. So the last one said, outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and immoral persons and murderers and idolaters and liars and everyone who loves and practices lying. Go ahead and shut me up real good on that one. Okay, those are the scriptures. Now, as I said, our session tonight is on heaven, the eternal home of the saved. I'm going to talk about our home tonight, folks. I'm going to talk about our home, what's going to be there, what we're going to be doing, who's going to be there, and everything else. And I want to start off this way. As you know, I'm a retired counselor, Christian counselor. I'm a retired deacon. I was a deacon for 15 years. And then I was a retired assistant pastor. I'm a retired assistant pastor. I was assistant pastor for 5 years. Then the Lord, you know, called me into the ministry. Counselor, a deacon for 15 years and also assistant pastor. And for 20 years, I was a chaplain at the hospital. So my whole background was sitting around that. I didn't plan to be no minister or nothing like that because my idea was I ain't got time to go to church every Sunday. I don't want to be no preacher. You got to go every Sunday. That's when I was a deacon. But God called me. God called me. And he got me too because when I went to church one Sunday, we were all sitting out there, all us deacons sitting on the front row. And then God told the pastor to say, call somebody. I got somebody I want to say. The pastor say, hey, before I say the benediction, God just told me, he got something to say to somebody. You know who you are. Stand up because you've been feeling in your spirit. You've been feeling that you needed to get up and say something about your calling. And I knew that was me. I said, I ain't going to hold up my hand. And next thing I know, my arm raised up by itself. It raised up by itself. And everybody looked at me and said, Deacon John? And I look at the old guy. So I went up there and he says, what is it? He said, speak the truth, son. And he had the microphone right by my face. And he said, I just said, I heard this boy is telling to tell you when I come to church today, because that happened last night, to tell you I'm going to call into the ministry. I don't be no minister. I'm a deacon. I'm in the whole church. Fell out laughing. Had about like 700 people sitting there. And they all fell out laughing. They heard me. So I ain't want to be no preacher. I'm happy being a deacon. That way I don't have to go to church every Sunday. Everybody, but you know what? The whole congregation stood up and voted, and I went to school for 3 years as a 55-year-old man going to school. And all of my classmates were in their 20s because they finished college and so they go to graduate school. And so they were like 23, 24, 25. Had a couple of 30s in there. But I was a 55-year-old man sitting in class with a bunch of 20s. But I struggled through. Also, I didn't tell you my age. I'm 80. I didn't think I'd be doing this at 80. I thought I'd be retired and chilling. I turned 80 back. I was born in 1940. I'm an 80-year-old man. And I'll be 81 when in November. Well, I just had one that made me 80. Took me out of the 70s. Now I'm 80. Lord, the time going by fast. All right. Here we go. Now, just as the family is moving into a new home, dig this. Now, this is us. I'm talking about our new home. Just as our family get ready to move into a new home, what do? We want to know. I emphasize that word. We want to know every detail about the house, you know, how many windows, how many floors, does it have a living room, a dining room, kitchen, activity room, and all this kind of stuff. So we want to know every detail about the house. We want to know about the neighbors. Are the neighbors kosher, pretty good? Are we moving in a drunken neighborhood, neighborhood gangsters, and a neighborhood or whatever, you know, kind of a thing? You know, a neighbor with rednecks. Neighbor with Negroes, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we want to know about the house. We want to know about the neighborhood. And guess what else we want to know? Are there any churches in that neighborhood, too, that we can go to? We want to know also, are there any schools in that neighborhood where we look around before we buy the house? We want to know about the schools. Then we want to know about the bus lines for those who looking for a new house but don't have a car. So naturally, they want to move in a location where the buses, you know, transportation is easy. Not only that, then you want to know, are there any shopping centers in that area where you're going to move in? You want to know all that stuff before you move in the house. I guess we all do. We want to know about the schools, especially if you got children. Any good schools in that neighborhood? You know, drug stores, grocery stores. I don't have to drive a mile to go to this place and that kind of thing. Okay? And then the shopping centers, you know, you want to know of some in that area. And so we should want to know about our future home. See, we want to know about our future home. What's available to us for our store, drug stores, barbershop, beauty shop, and all these other kind of things too. And hospitals too, primarily. And Jesus, let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. This session describes in part what it will be like and how we live in it based upon the scriptures. Let me repeat that. Hopefully, my fellow listeners, I just pray that when I get through, you will know more about your heavenly home. You will really know. You will really know. So God bless you. Now, someone observed that the older we became and the closer we get to moving into heaven. And, you know, you start thinking about that a lot because I never thought about heaven that much, even though I was a born-again, spirit-filled believer. And I just now, since I'm 8, I say, uh-oh, time's getting short. And guess what? I asked God a question, and he answered. I go, now, Lord, my grandmama died at age 75. My mama died at 80. My daddy drowned when I was 2 years old, so I never got to know my daddy. When I used to live in New York, and mama had to move down south so she can have her sisters and my grandmama help raise me. And so she moved down here. But just think, again, some of us, and I'm thinking about it more so now, but where I know where I'm going, and I want to know what it's like, who's there, and give me some detail about heaven, because it's going to be what? My eternal home. And, you know, and then at the last minute, I realized that wasn't me, because I taught on a lot of things. I never taught about heaven. I talked about demons, you know, and how people get possessed with demons. I talk about tongues, how you get the gifts of tongues, and all the other kind of stuff that God showed me, you know. And then all of a sudden, last week, I said, Lord, I don't know what to teach on tonight. Actually, I'm supposed to teach tomorrow night on something. I said, I don't know what. And I said, you give me a title. That's what I always do now, you know. So I got on the floor one evening, got my pillow, and got there next to the sofa and put my knees on the pillow so my knees won't get sore. I was down there for 2-3 hours praying, you know. Praying in tongues. And when you speak in the tongues, I don't want to go in that because I'm here to teach tonight, but, you know, the Lord told me and the Holy Spirit told me, say it hadn't faded away. They misquoted the scripture. The scripture says tongue has since it says tongues will. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 8, 9, and 10. It says knowledge will cease, tongue will cease, and prophecy will cease. Prophecy means God will reveal something to the pastor or the deacon, something to say something to somebody or to the congregation. And then and the congregation says, Pastor, you really hit it on the money today. I mean, I had these concerns and everything else, and you just ministered to me. Amen, my child. Amen. With the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was talking through it. That's the prophecy. When you speak what you hear from God, it could be an audible voice or it could be an inner voice, okay? So, naturally, we want to know everything about heaven. And being that my age now, 80, I go, my God. I say, now I start thinking about it even more. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready, whatever. Now, for this reason, we got to remember this. Older Christians often what? Are more concerned about the biblical doctrine of heaven than when they were much younger. I ain't thought about no heaven. I said, I want to go to heaven someday, you know, when I'm in my 20s and 30s and 40s and everything. I said, now I can see my grandmom again, and I can see my daddy who drowned when I was 2 years old. My mama had to move back down south, you know, caught a cramp and drowned, and my mama had to grab, scream hard and take her to the hospital. Kind of a thing. And so that's what I'm looking forward to, when you see my daddy, who I never get to know. And he got pictures of him holding me in his arms, you know. And I go, wow, got a handsome-looking little daddy there. And so I'm looking forward to that. And say, but old or young, the destination is not as important as the fact that we will live with God. You hear what I say? I say, even though we know our destination is coming, you know, and no matter how important it is, we realize that we'll be in a beautiful home in heaven. But the most beautiful thing about it all, we will live with God. Sure, we'll be living with grandmama, great-grandmama, granddaddy, mom and daddy, or children who have gone on before us. But the greatest experience is that we will live with God. We will live with God. All right, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to talk about. Okay, these are some of the things I'm going to talk about. I got five things highlighted. One, I'm going to talk about the location of God. Where is it? In the first heaven, second heaven, or the third heaven? Where is it going to be? Where is it going to be? So I got a little outline I did. And here, and the second one is the location of heaven. Is it located in the first, second heaven, or the third heaven? Okay? Now, after I get through with that one, explaining where it is, then the second one I'm going to talk about the description of heaven. When I say the description of heaven, you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about when I say the description, describe what it looked like to me. Describe it, Lord. And this is what I got. I'm going to talk about, under the title of description of heaven, about the presence of God. In other words, we're going to have God there, but I'm going to go in more detail. I'm just giving you just a one-liner. The description of heaven, I'm going to address the presence of God. That's one description of heaven. You're going to have, then we're going to, and they're going to tell us about heaven is eternal, not part time. Another thing about description of heaven, and talk about heaven has no death, and talk about that too. Ain't nobody dead up there. Ain't nobody got no disease or sickness or anything like that. Heaven has no death, and I'm going to talk about that. No more dying, because that spirit of yours leave that body. Why they, well, he gone to a better place and die. Yeah. And you have to tell me, hey, Jesus, come here, daughter. Come here, son. He's hugging you. And then down there on earth, I'm, yeah, he's gone. Amen, amen. Going to be with the Lord. And some of them don't know where they're going. So some people get sleep and say, well, he's gone to a better place. I went to cell phone. I knew the guy. I knew him personally. No matter how much we tried to wait to him, he didn't want to hear it. I mean, he didn't believe in that junk and stuff like that. And then that machine, I mean, he's gone to a better place. I said, well, okay. That's why I didn't want to preach that lie. All right, but he could have, because who knows? He could have accepted Christ when he was on his deathbed, as soon as he woke up. And he could have, the Holy Spirit, the Lord could have ministered to that young man or young woman and said, this is your last day, brother. You got your last minute here to make a decision for me. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, because sometimes nobody look up until they're all the way down. Somebody never look up until they as down as they can get. So you can't judge anybody last time you saw, because that person could have, like the prisoners in jail when I used to go a chaplain in the prison, stuff like that. And guys be going to the lecture chair, and I'm walking there behind her, and, you know, I don't want to go to hell, Pastor. I don't want to go to hell, you know, stuff like that. I want to be my mama, stuff like that. I said, and then I would get a witness saying, he's really real, sincere. I said, all right, say this, but why are we going down? I said, repeat this after me. I said, oh, my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee, and I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell because I have offended you, my God, who is all good and deserving of all my love. And I firmly resolve to have that grace to confess my sins always to you and just dedicate the rest of my life to you. I am heartily sorry for the offense. I receive you now, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you come and take up residence in me. When I used to serve you, my body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, I'm not stupid, Holy Spirit. The moment I started fornicating, masturbating, and doing all this stuff, you left my body because you're not going to stay in a vile body. The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I say, I ain't stupid. I say, you tell him that, because you know, I don't know what you've been doing, but you've been doing all kinds of things. And you know the Holy Spirit ain't with you no more. What? I said, no, you accepted the Holy Spirit when you became a believer, when you accepted Christ, your personal Lord. But as soon as you started fornicating, masturbating, and adultery and all that stuff, guess what the Holy Spirit said? I ain't feeling in this vile body. Spirit gone. You don't even know it. Don't even know it. So I said, now you accepted Christ. Now why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, please come back and be so I can be a temple. Please, Holy Spirit, please. The Bible said you dwell in the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the guy just cried. And then you walk into the gas chamber and stuff like that. Description of heaven also. I said, description of heaven, you have the presence of God. You have heaven is eternal. Heaven has no death. We'll talk about that. And heaven has no tears. There's going to be no crying and boo-hooing in heaven. And what else? The description of heaven. I said, heaven has no tears. And heaven is a place of memory. You start remembering everything, and you start remembering each other, because ain't no way in the world when you get up there, you ain't going to be able to memorize all them zillion white folks, African folks, Chinese folks, whatever their nationality is, okay, Germans, French, and all that. Ain't no way in the world when you walk through heaven, when you get there, ain't no way in the world they're going to march a zillion people in front of you and say, this is Barbara, this is Scuba Roomba, this is Rika, and this is Barbara, and this is Janice, this is John, this is Kakina, and this is Robita, and this is Mitahula Hakima. No, Lord, ain't no way in the world. And as soon as the third person passed, you know, I forgot their name. But we're going to remember, and I'll tell you how we're going to remember. So the description is, we're going to know the presence of God. We're going to know about heaven is eternal. Heaven has no death. Heaven has no tears. Heaven is in a place of memory. And let's see, the next thing I want to say, the first one I said, we're going to talk about the location of heaven. That's the third heaven. We're going to talk about description of heaven, talking about the presence of God. You know, description, what's going to be in there? Heaven is eternal. You know, you're not going to be there 40 years like a house. After 40, 50 years, the house started decaying and everything else. You want to move out of heaven, redone. So heaven is eternal. Heaven has no death. And there's going to be no crying and sad and stuff like that in heaven. Then the next one, I said the location of heaven, description of heaven. Now the third one, the inhabitants of heaven. Who's going to be there? Tell me there, Brother John, who's going to be there? Well, who's going to be there, the inhabitants? First of all, it's going to be angels. I'm going to discuss that. Who else going to be in heaven? The elders. You know, in the Bible, you had the 12 elders. And then you can have to save Israel, you know, like all those Jews talking about Jesus, and he ain't our God. He's a foreigner. He doesn't need that. He's not our Messiah. But if you read Hebrews 11th chapter, it talks about God turned his back off of us now because he know how many Gentiles. We are Gentiles. Anything that was not a Hebrew in the Bible was a Gentile. We are Gentiles, all those who are not Jews. And God can go back and they're going to say, oh, my God. We never believed in Jesus all these years. Man, because, you know, their Bible just go from Genesis to Malachi. They don't have no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in their Bible, and Acts and Romans and all that. They just got the Old Testament because they don't believe in no Jesus. They think Jesus was just a good man. Some thought he was a hypocrite and these kinds of things. So the only people, you know, we got thousands of Jews now that have finally come over and accepted Jesus, their personal Lord and Savior. Okay. So, number one, talk about the location of heaven. Two, descriptions of heaven. Three, the inhabitants of heaven. Four, now I just got to be talking about the inhabitants, the elders, Israel, the Jews, and then the triune God. I guess so. Say the inhabitants of heaven, I got the triune God. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's the triune God. Okay. And then, I always wonder, what are we going to do up there? What are we going to do? And so I grab all my books and started scuffing and looking in. And then I found a book that really just blessed my heart. It's called The Activities, y'all, Activities of Heaven. And it says this. And we'll talk about a life of fellowship. You fellowship with different people from all over the world. I'm talking about every nationality that God created, because we always created by God. I'm talking about the African, the Mexican, the Chinese, the Japanese, the Koreans, the Germans, and the rest. You got saved in every group. Not everybody going to be saved out of each one of those denominations. You just going to have, you got, God know when to call it a quit, because he know who going to be saved. He knew when you was going to get saved. Even when we were babies, God already knew the time we was going to get saved, when we could quit being stupid and accept him as a personal Lord. And Jesus know he can look off into the future. He's been gone way back, 2,000 years. And he know when to say, okay, it's time for me to come back and grab my people now. Because he know, he knows when the time, the waiting period is over now. Because everybody says, oh, when you coming back and get us now, you know. And you've been gone almost 2,000 years, Lord, you know, this kind of thing. But he know when to come back. And then when he leaves the Gentiles, that's us. That's anybody who's not a Jew. When he decided to leave us, that's me. We all who going to be saved, going to be saved. And what he doing, he said, now I got to turn back to my own people. Let me go back and get my Hebrew people, my Jews, because I'm a Jew. And he can go and he can manifest himself north. He can be crying and screaming, oh, my God, I'm 70 years old, and I never believed in Jesus. I thought he was a hypocrite, and I never read the New Testament, none of that stuff. But he going to manifest himself so strongly. And he's going to have strong Jew believers, boy. Those guys are going to be able to preach like champs because he's going to appoint these elders and they're going to go all through the areas of all Jerusalem and say, folks, we've been bled a lie all these years. Jesus is our Messiah. We're looking for the Messiah. He already been here and he already died for us and now he's on his way back. And they're going to believe then because God's going to have them to do miracles like the disciples in the Old Testament, the New Testament. They're going to be able to lay hands on people and be sick. The blind will be able to see, the whole nine yards. They're going to have the full gifts, just like Matthew, Mark, Luke, Paul, Peter, and all of them had those gifts. The blind can see, the dead come back to life. They're going to have all those gifts because God's going to save his people. Okay. So now we'll talk about the activities of heaven, and these are the points I'm going to address. In heaven, you're going to have fellowship for life. You'll be with those believers for life, there'll be no more death. You're going to ever and ever, no end. What else? What kind of activity are you going to have? You're going to have a life of rest? God ain't going to allow us to rest, but we won't need to. But the Bible says we will rest. When I get into specifics, I'll give you the scripture because I'm not just talking in my head. Everything I'm saying now, I'm just remembering and looking at some of the notes I took down. I didn't get into all the scripture because it would take forever. But some of the scripture I would indicate. But everything I'm going to say to you when I get to specific, I got the scripture to back it up there and serve. Okay, so we're going to have fellowship from activities. We're going to have life fellowship there. And we'll have periods of rest and fellowship. You're going to have a life of service. And God's going to ordain us to do something. We're going to do something. We ain't going to sit around the house and say, what time is it? Oh, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. What time is it? 7 p.m. Time to go to bed. I'm tired. I'm sitting on that cloud all day. Ain't going to be none of that stuff, y'all. God got special service for us. It's a life of service. I mean, forever. And then what else, the activities you're going to have? Have a life of growth. You get to know the Word of God. Because, I mean, you have Jesus. You have the Son, Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. And then they have classes and teaching us the Word. But you know, he just give it to you mentally. In other words, he wants you to know something. You just put that thought in your head. Like, say, for example, I didn't know how much 5 times 5 was. And then God wants me to know it. Then start talking about 5 times 5 is 25. I mean, well, I'm thinking that. I'm, you know, okay, I know that. And you didn't know before. See, so God's going to teach us, too, so we can grow. Especially, he's going to really teach us the Word. When he get through with us, we all going to be 100% ministers. Because you're going to know that Word inside out. Inside out, y'all. We all be on equal level with that Word of God. Teaching that Word and having, I guess, fun Bible classes, I guess, in fellowship, because what, we all would know the Word of God. You think we all got PhDs in theology. And we can have a life of worship. And every so often each day, we go to the altar and to the throne of God and just praise the Lord. We, with every nationality, plus the angels, plus the Trinity, all will be before the throne. And by God sitting up on that throne and Jesus sitting next to him and the host on the other side, and all, every living soul that God said be before the throne, worship and praising God for our salvation. Okay? And then I get that last little part, I go, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do in heaven? Well, I got a scripture back up. Say, we be learning, but naturally, because we still be learning the Word if there were Jesus. They'll be singing. They'd be all around the altar, around the throne of God, singing, stuff like that. We'd be worshiping. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'd be worshiping. That's another thing we'd be doing. Another thing we'd be doing, we'd be serving. We could have different tasks and stuff like that. So we'd be serving our God. Another thing we'd be doing, leading, because he's going to give us different tasks and abilities and responsibilities to do. And I got the scripture for all that. And then we're going to fellowship with others. Hey, sister, so-and-so, how you doing? Hey, brother, so-and-so. And you may stop for maybe an hour and just fellowship. And it's good up here. Praise the Lord, child. Don't you believe it? These kinds of things. Now, I want to get into the specifics. I said the first thing was the location. Let's see, what time is it? 9:50? What time do you think, son? You know, I got the what time? 10:30? Let me see, 9 to 10, 10 to 11. Okay, I think I got the 11, quarter to. All right, here's the first one. The location of heaven. The Bible seems to teach there are 3 heavens. We know about that. But only one is the place where God dwells. The first one is called the atmosphere. You know, when we're outside, we can look up at the clouds, see it's going to rain, stuff like that. We can see birds flying through there, and you see airplanes flying. That's the first heaven. Then we have the second heaven, planets like Jupiter, Mars, and so forth. Then you got the third heaven that's supposed to be the dwelling place of God and all those who have gone on before us. And specifically speaking, the second heaven is the stellar spaces. That's all them stars and everything way up there. This is what we call space, outer space. The stars fall from heaven. God described the space to Abraham. He said, that's it. Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if those be able to number them. I mean, zillion, billion stars. So he was telling Abraham, that's heaven, the third one, above the stars, and kind of thing. All right. I said, the location of heaven, you got first, second, then you got the third heaven. That's the dwelling place of God. No one knows the location of God's throne and local presence. All we can say is that heaven is where God is located. Some people say, I'm not going to say the third heaven of the Bible. Talk about the third heaven. That's the one that's on the top of all the other two. But one author in the book said, all we can say is that heaven is where God is located. I said, excuse me, brother. So that's the reference to the 3 heavens. You got first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. Then we got the description of heaven. All right, Brother John, give me some descriptions of heaven. Well, one, the splendor and beauty of heaven far outshines anything. Because remember when y'all read the book of Revelation, talk about it, the streets made out of gold and all this kind of stuff? Wow. The splendor and beauty of heaven far outshines anything that human mind can comprehend, because, you know, God, and God is above. We can't think like God, you know. So what it's saying is that it would just blow our imagination when we see that place. Because, you know, when you look at Revelation, read it, they describe the gates and all that kind of stuff, and all about the apostles and stuff, names on the gates and stuff. So it will be impossible to comprehend heaven until we arrive personally. In other words, no matter how many times people try to describe, like me, try to describe what it looked like and everything else, you just get just a big fleshly idea of what it's like. But when you get there, you go, my God, it will be impossible right now to comprehend heaven until we arrive personally. Until we arrive personally and be on what? And be on location, y'all. But we do not know that heaven is a huge and colorful city. All you get is read Revelation when you get the time. It describes, man, the streets and everything else. All right. Then the next thing I got, description of heaven. You would have the presence of God there, the presence of God. The Bible tells us what is not in heaven to help us understand what is there. They tell us what is not in heaven, you know, like the vow and Elijah and all this. So the Bible tells us what is not in heaven to help us understand what is there. And I saw no temple, looking at the scripture now, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of heaven. Isn't that amazing? This is like right now, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. When we go to heaven, then we're dwelling with God, man on man. The Bible tells us what is not in heaven to help us understand what is there. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, that's Jesus, are the temple of it. The temple was a symbol of the presence of God. And remember now, the city have no need of the sun. They don't have no need of what else? Sun, moon, to shine in it. Why? Because the glory of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lamb. He's the light of heaven. He's the light. Jesus. Isn't that amazing? When you get there, you ain't gonna have no more star, no moon and no sun, that kind of stuff like that. Because Jesus is the light of it. There'll never be no night. There'll never be no night. I wonder, but we in our spiritual body, and I'd be one, but does anybody take a nap? I don't know. But we have, the Bible just say we have restful periods, you know, stuff like that. I guess we can sit aside and just fellowship with each other, that kind of a thing. Okay. And guess what? Not only heaven, description of heaven means it has the presence of God, but also heaven is eternal. That's another description. Heaven is eternal. Heaven is the place of those who have eternal life. That's you and me and everybody else who love the Lord. Let me say that again. Heaven is eternal. It's like our spiritual being. We have no more, no body, heart problems and all that stuff. But heaven is eternal. Heaven is the place of those who have eternal life. Heaven, therefore, is described as having no day or no night. No day or no night. And this is because, why? It is eternal, and there is no time, which is measured by day or night. You have to ask somebody, hey, what time is it? Time is gone. I mean, it will be no night. This thing just go from day to day to day. But you still have rest periods and fellowship periods and all these other kinds of stuff. Because God changed our bodies. We have heavenly spiritual bodies. And I talked about the presence of God being there and that heaven is eternal. So we ain't gonna have no moon, no sun, and all that stuff. We don't need that anymore because what? He got Jesus there. He's the light of the world. He's light of the world. You know, he's the light of heaven. Now, I got heaven has, next thing I want to describe about heaven. It says, heaven has no death, no funerals, no caskets. Heaven has no death, no sickness, no nothing that causes death. Since death means, listen to this now. Since death means separation, there's no doubt in heaven. Because we will live forever with God. And those who die in Christ, that's who live forever in heaven, is those who die in Christ, meaning that you accepted him as your Lord and Savior before you die. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hear what I say? The second death is lake of fire. That's where we're all going. Like, if I don't believe in no Jesus, man, I'm about to cry. How can God have a son? God not married. ain't never heard. I know some of them, if he got married, he's a son. How he coming to being, you know? He father got him out of marriage or what? You know, this kind of thing. And that's pure devilish to think those kinds of thoughts. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's the second that's going to apply to when hell and death be cast into fire along with all those who played with Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. Okay? This is the second death. Another description, sin. Still talking about a description of heaven. Sin. The reason why God originally cursed the earth is gone. Therefore, death is the result and it's gone. Sin is gone. Up there, nobody sin. Ain't nobody want to sin. Nobody even think about sinning. Ain't nobody flirting up there. No nothing. Because you have the Spirit of God and you one holy vessel. Any little thing you may have kind of unclean when you get there, but you still get saved, guess what? You'd be totally saved when you get up there. Totally, totally saved. Ain't nobody can talk to you to say anything because you're standing there looking at Jesus, you're looking at God the Father, you're looking at the Holy Spirit, and looking at all those mighty angels, those zillions of angels, man, just flying to and from, back and forth from the throne of God, taking orders, taking orders, and going back throughout everywhere, ministering to whatever that angel assignment was. Heaven has no death. So in other words, that's why God said nothing unright is going to come in here because, you know, who sinned got to die. And so there ain't going to be nobody sinning. There ain't going to be no sinful thoughts, no wish and all that. You're going to have the mind of Christ, y'all, to see him personally. And then he can hold up his hand. You can see his wounded hand. I don't know if he still have the hole going through his hand where the spikes went through. Or be healed and just show a scar on his hand, show where he was crucified. Amen. So nothing sinful will get into heaven. Don't play with yourself. And for those who's hanky-panky, don't play with God. Because God said, my son, I sent my son to die for you. And my son got with my son personally said, Daddy, I don't let me go through this. He begged his father three times. Not my, and then he found him. And God said, Yes, he said, oh, Daddy, you sure hard on me. Third time, please, Daddy. That's horrible what you got me going through. All right. Not my will, but yours, Daddy. Kind of thing. So Jesus went through it. And guess what? Now he was glorified and God the Holy Spirit brought him back to life. He ascended and he gave his last words to his ministers and said, preach the word of God, cast out the sin, teach about tongues, teach about interpretation of tongues, and so forth. And it's a yes, master, kind of a thing, you see. Because I want you to teach it. And the reason I'm going to give you these gifts because then they believe that you're a man of God, that I'm real. If you're in there talking about, the Lord says, and the Lord says, and the Lord says. But don't show any proof. The people want to see something special, hardcore. They want to hear more than, God loves you. Come and get saved. God loves you. But some of them need to see miracles, just like, you know, one of the disciples. Because that's why God gave us those gifts. He gives some, the Holy Spirit, the one spread them out. I'm going to give him the gift of speaking tongues. I'm going to give this one the gift of interpretation tongues. I'm going to give this one the gift of healing. I'm going to give this one the gift of prophecy. I'm going to give this one the gift. All those nine different gifts. Each minister got, some got more than one. And I've seen the pastor got the gift of healing where they lay hands on a person got cancer and got a lump on their breast. And he had a couple of church members go up and touch the lady's breast, and she cried and said, I want y'all to pray for me. He prayed for her, and they said, take her downstairs and check her out. Came back up, the lump was gone, you know, kind of thing. I've seen legs grow out. The preacher said, come here, child. And dude come up there, and one leg is about 1.5 to 2 inches longer than the other. And they sit him in the chair in front of the whole congregation and laid hand on the man and prayed over, and everybody saw the man's leg grow right out in person, see? But that's what happened to everybody who believes. It's like salvation. You ain't going to get saved unless you believe Jesus who he is. You ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to never have none of the gifts of the Holy Spirit unless you believe God don't give his gifts and love to somebody who told me, I don't believe in that mess that died in the first century. That's why some, you know what? From the time I was 18 to the time I was 40, I thought, oh, man, I don't know. And you know what? And look what I'm teaching right now, 80. I should have been teaching this when I was in my 20s and 30s, but no, I don't know. I got to question everything. Yeah, I bet. Every time the preacher went, yeah. Oh. Then I was sitting once in my last church before I left it. I heard the preacher say, come on up and, that's when I was a deacon. Come on up and join the church and get saved. And I'm sitting there going, huh, what did you just say? He said, come on. And some people walk up there, and he said, all right, member, do you accept sister so-and-so as a member? And everybody, yeah, they all agree and vote on it. But now you're a child of God. You're a member. Now, that gal ain't no child of God. She's a member of the church. That's all she did. She asked God to forgive her sins and dedicate her life to I am so hard as hell for having offended thee. And I have to test all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, Father, because I have offended you. I am heartily sorry and spiritually sorry that I offend you. Please forgive me. And I ask you now to give me your Holy Spirit to help change me. And I ask it in the name of Jesus, and then that person is saved. Not because they joined the church. That just means they joined the church. They're a member of the church. They're not a member of God's family. See? You know what? It's all the way until I'm in my 40s, man. And look what I'm doing here. I'm 80. I should have been doing this when I was in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 20s and 30s. All right. Heaven has no death. And then there's no sin, so there's no reason for death because the ultimate result of sin is death. So ain't nothing getting up there. Even if you're just a liar, you ain't getting up there. Next thing, heaven has no tears. Now, that's the one that I really had a hard time with. What do you mean? The tears. And then it hit me and says, well, I suppose my mama died. I knew my mama didn't know the Lord and stuff like that. Always backstabbing in the house, talking to her friend girls on the phone. Child. That nigga don't mean nothing. Phone, phone, this and that. Phone, 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 phone. You know? And, Lord, you know. So, God knows our thoughts. And then he made a mistake when his benediction was, come on up and get saved, you know, and join the church. And I'm sitting there on the front room. And some of the deacons getting up and everything else, you know, feeling to leave. And I stayed there long enough to hear him say, you know what, man, I'm preaching this stuff 30 years. He said, I tell people to come up and get saved. He said, that's if we saved at all. Who knows for sure? That was the pastor said there. And he said the wrong time because I was saved at the time. And I said, well, I'd be doggone. I said, honey, I'm sitting there on the front row with the deacon. Guess what I heard? She said, what? I said, yeah. She said, we got to get the heck out of here. She said, hey, man, you mean we sitting under a pastor? He got 2 doctorate degrees, one from the University of Pacific and one someplace else in California. And he said, well, they came up to get saved if we're saved at all. I heard that man say, I guess God has opened my spirit so I can hear if we are saved at all. So guess what? Before I left, God said, I'm going to correct it. But so God woke me up one morning, Saturday morning, said, go to the church. And he starts not over voice. Why? Go. He said, so that was strong feeling. I said, I got to go to the church. And I told to the pastor, okay. I went there. The secretary opened the door. This Saturday morning. He said, come on down there, deacon. He said, what can I do for you? I said, well, I'm not here because I want to. I'm here because the Lord sent me. Who sent you? I said, the Lord, are you going crazy? I'm a fanatic. I said, no, sir, I'm just telling you the Lord sent me. Well, what does the Lord have to say to me? He says, you got a church members up there. You got 2/3, you know, 3/3 make a whole. 2/3 of the people in that church sitting there, they're not saved. You know, you got the people thinking they saved because they come into church every day, and you bless you, my child, bless you, and come on and get in the choir. You do this and do that. All they're doing is get involved in activities, but they don't have a personal relationship with them. He says, and who told you this? I said, God, sir. I ain't come here to lie on God. I said, you know what you need to do? He said, you need to tell them they need to come up and accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they need to ask God to forgive them their sins. You ask them to forgive their sins. You tell them to come join the church, and they remember God's family. That's a lie. Well, I'll think about it. Thanks for coming, but I got a lot of things to do. And so that was Saturday morning. Went to church Sunday, and when he got through preaching, come on up and join the church and become a member of God's house. And when he said that, the Lord said, stand up. I stood up right there with all them 14 deacons right on the front row of the church and got 700-800 people looking at me. Tell me, what's wrong with Deacon John? And he looked at me, and I gave him a frown on my face. He said, oh, Lord. That brought back his memory. He said, oh, and by the way, there might be some of you not saved, so come on up there and give your heart to the Lord. Ask him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Spirit. When he said that, about 30-some-odd people came to say, some of you probably never did ask the Lord to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And you tell him that you're sorry for all your sins and you believe that he's the Son of God. All y'all did was just join church. Now, those who just been doing that, you need to come on up. He came up to 30. He looked at me. I said, my God, look at that. I mean, they're rushing like somebody's going to offer them $1,000 a piece. So they got saved. The next Sunday, one time he got through preaching, come on up and get saved, you know, join the church. And I said, oh, Lord, he's going back this old way. I started to get up and I said, uh-uh. He told him once. And I said nothing. He said, okay, y'all saved. I said, Lord have mercy. So a couple of months later, you know, I left them. So nothing central is in heaven. And no death at all. Heaven has no death. That's one I just got to describe. Heaven has no death. Because what? Anything that is full of death. When you say sinful means dead. And so they down in hell. Nothing sinful. Just a lie. Not even a lie we're getting there. Then what else do you want to tell me about heaven, Brother John? Say heaven has no tears. No tears. This means there will be no sadness. The Bible says God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain. For the former things passes away. Now, this is the one that really, really amazes me because a lot of people lost their child. They tried to raise the child up in the right way, and the child got killed, stealing the store, or got gang war and got killed then, you know, kind of thing. And then you look at their mother and father and say, what do you mean I have no tears? Now I know my son, he even told us enough that he don't believe in no Jesus. That's hypocrite. So they can believe that lie they want. And we ain't proud of ourselves, and when you're dead, you're dead. And, you know, can you imagine your son or your daughter telling you stuff like that? Well, I know a lot when I work in a hospital chaplain. Some of them just have heart aches and everything in there, worrying about their child, you know. And you wonder how they can be happy, you know, knowing that the child almost say, kiss it, daddy. Don't bother me about this. And it happens. I ain't been a chaplain for 20 doggone years for nothing, you know. And a deacon. I've been a deacon for about 12 years before I became a chaplain. See? All right. Heaven has no tears. I say heaven has no death. Now, heaven has no tears. Ain't going to be no crying and boo-hoo and none of that stuff. That's going to be amazing. And then the next one I got about, heaven is a place of memory. You will start remembering. You won't forget anything. And the example that the Bible gave us when Peter, James, and John was up there with Jesus when he was praying to attempt to take this crucifixion possibility from him. And then what happened is while he was praying, and Moses and Elijah came down out of heaven and stood there with Jesus started praying. And then when Peter, James, and John saw him, they go, who that? Hey, who them? Hey, they look like angels. What their spiritual being? All they just said, they reckon the Bible said they recognized Moses and Elijah. Now Moses and Elijah been dead centuries before they became apostles, you know. But they recognized and they say, "Can we make a temple for you, Moses and Elijah, Jesus?" Imagine, Elijah and Moses was dead. I don't know, 200, 300, 400, 500 years before they were born. But that's how we're going to know in heaven. We even have to be introduced to 500 Chinese, 500 Japanese, 500 Africans, dialect Africans, dialect Italians, Frenchmen, and all that. Ain't no way in the world you remember all them names. Uh-uh, I don't think so. But we would know just like Peter, James, and John. So Moses, Elijah say, hey, should we make a temple for Elijah and Moses? You know, I guess, but Moses and Elijah knew what was happening. They could say, how did you know us? I mean, we've been dead like 300, 400 years ago when we died, you know, that kind of thing. So we would know. And when you walking down the path of heaven and going to the store, you don't have to go to no store. Stuff just appears right on your dinner plate, you know. You don't even have to go to the bathroom no more. You don't have that kind of organ set up. God is mighty. God built everything. God made the whole world. And God will make it just that we don't even have to defecate or urinate no more. That's the kind of glorified body we're going to have. Can you imagine that? Walk around every day eating food and still don't have to go tee-tee or boo-boo. My God. But anyway, we would know who Peter, James, and John are. And when they come to pool, when we go up there and they walk in front of us, we would know exactly who they are. And if a Chinese woman, an African man, or a German a saved person walk in front of you, you'd be, hey, John. Hey, Muhammad. Hey, son. You would know like they've been your next-door neighbor. That's the kind of mind we had. The Bible said our mind would be similar like that of Christ. We won't be perfect like Christ, but we would know them. And it said, the next thing I want to say, heaven, because we were talking about the description of heaven. Heaven will be beautiful and clean. From time to time, most every city that you're in down here on earth, the city council get all these people to clean up the streets and everything else. And and do redo buildings and all that stuff, and make the city look better and beautiful and everything else. Well, all God got to do is just speak it into being. They talk about how heaven home city is a transparent gold. It's full of jasper and gold and all this stuff, crystals and clear diamond. The streets made out of gold. But they just with all that beautiful, I saw in one book, it says, even with all that beautiful surroundings and everything else, it says, the central focus of heaven will not be on the beautiful walls, those beautiful streets made out of gold, the foundations, you got 12 foundations with the apostle's name on, gates, you know, 12 foundations, 12 gates, 12 apostles, and 12, the 12 Jewish tribes. But rather, the Lamb and his throne. That's what it makes the place beautiful. Excites us. The throne was not the first thing John saw in heaven. He saw Jesus. See, he saw an emerald gold rainbow surrounding heaven. John also what noted that, behold, the throne, there was a sea of glass and like crystals. And I mean, so, you know, if God gave us the gold and jewelry and all that stuff, he made heaven out of that stuff. Now, you want to talk about the inhabitants of heaven. The inhabitants of heaven. Heaven heaven is more than the eternal home of the saved. In other words, it's more than just the eternal home of me and you and the rest of us who are saved. And it's involved more than all the different nationalities and tribes on this earth. You got to remember also that the inhabitants of heaven also include God, his angels, and I'm talking about this, millions of angels up there, you know, not no evil one, only Michael and all them, the good angels. So I'm trying to say again, heaven is more than the eternal home for the saved. That's talking about, I say them, some of us, you know, from all over the world. Many others will forever live with us there. These include, who are these others, Brother John? Who are these others? These others include God and his angels, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and other special creations that he made that we're not aware of, both Jews and Gentiles. In other words, the Jews are there now because what? He had manifested himself in a mighty miracle way that the Jews said, you know what, we've been a fool all these years. Jesus is our Messiah that we overlook all these years. And all the grandparents, you know, I told you, see, y'all call me a Gentile hypocrite. Y'all got mad at me, kicked me out of our Jewish church because I was going to a Christian church. But right now, if you look in Jerusalem, you find a lot of Jews, rabbis, are teaching the New Testament too now. Because Jews, when you go to their church, their Bible just runs from Revelation, no, from Genesis to Malachi. They don't have no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the rest of them, Acts and Romans, so forth. They just got the Old Testament because they don't believe in Jesus. So repeat again, heaven is more than the eternal home of the saved. Many others shall forever live with us there. I said many others, and that would include angels, and you got all the mighty different kinds of angels and special creations that we not know of. Okay, both Jews, they let you know now, it's all them Jews ain't going to hell. God know how to minister them. After so many Gentiles, that's everybody who's not a Jew. When God know how many people going to get saved, you know, and he know, like he knew I wouldn't get saved till I was 40, you know, and so he didn't let me die and all be like that because of his mercy. He saw, because he can see the past and the present and the future. And he can see way down the line when I got saved at 40 and what I'd be doing, going to seminary, then started teaching him, and I'm 80. He saw all that. So he said, no, I'm not going to let John die, because if he died right now, he's going to hell. So I'm going to give him that time because I know when he's going to love on me and accept me as his personal Lord and Savior. And that's applicable to each one of you. Each one of you got saved at a different age, different time, you see. But, you know, he didn't let you die in an obedience like that. He didn't let nobody murder you. He didn't let you get poisoned and that kind of stuff because he knew that you was going to get saved. So he wasn't going to let nothing happen to you. Those angels, your guardian angel, each one have a guardian angel. He let that guardian angel protect your old little fanny until you reach that age. And then you say, Jesus, you go run down that aisle screaming, crying, save me, Lord, save me. And the Lord just smiled and said, look at my child. See, that's why I let her live that long. She didn't get saved until she was 40 or 42. He didn't get saved until he was 50, 56. But I knew when he was going to say it, so I didn't let him do nothing stupid. I had his God and angel to protect him. See, that's the love of God, y'all. That's the love of God. So heaven is more than the eternal home of the saved. many others, and many others are, like I said, they're angels, special creations that we don't know about. Both Jews and Gentiles, that's us, will live in heaven in perfect harmony. Perfect harmony. Now, I said, they're going to be angels. So John heard the voice of many angels when he was up in heaven, about the throne of heaven, when he had that vision. And these include several kinds of angels. You got seraphims, you know, you got regular angels, and all the rest of them. You have special kind of angels who deal with God's altar. And then they've got angels who protect the throne, protect God. But like you don't need any protection, all God got to do is just say, drop dead, you drop dead. See? So the angels, we got angels up there, and there's all different kinds. Then you got another special angelic group who deal with God's throne. You got the cherubims. Remember I said you had the seraphims, now you got the cherubims. You got Michael, the other angel. Then you got Gabriel. Okay? So you got angels of all kinds. Then you got elders. The elders, the 24 elders, are the 12 apostles of Christ, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and so forth. And then you got the leader from each all 12 tribes. You got 12 of the 12 tribes in the Jewish religion, and you got 12 apostles for the Christian religion. And 12 and 12 is 24, and those 24 are called elders. The Bible identifies 24 elders around the throne. Can you imagine? You see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John right there, right on through. And then you look at all the leaders of each tribe, you know. So, my God, all 24 of them there. Look at that, you know. So you got the Bible identified 24 elders around the throne of God in heaven. And one suggestion is that these men are 12 tribal leaders. Each one was a leader from each tribe in Jerusalem. And then you got 12 apostles of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, so on. And what else I want to say about inhabitants of heaven? Oh, yeah, still got, yeah, I got, all right. So I got angels. I got the elders, the 12 apostles and the 12 leaders of the Jewish religion. So you got angels, you got elders, and then you got saved Israel. That kind of went ahead of myself, but saved Israel. Those are the Hebrew people, the Jews, who come to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so I'm going to be so disappointed. Do you mean to tell me all these years, my 20, 30, 40 years, I was saying Jesus wasn't no Messiah. Our Messiah is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our Messiah don't get killed on a cross. Are you crazy? Jesus is God. Jesus is the Messiah. This ain't the one we're looking for. Because, I mean, you see how they beat the daylights out of him? They beat him with a whip. 39 lashes on it. They put nails to his hand, put nails to his feet. And you talking about that's our God? Y'all can't, y'all can have him. I don't want a Jesus that can take me back to heaven, can bless me, can talk to other beings. What kind of Jesus that? Y'all Jesus got crucified on the cross. That ain't no God. That's just a chump. Chump change. Not knowing that his primary purpose was to come and die on the cross for us. A sinner can't die for another sinner. It had to be somebody sinless to die for somebody who has sinned. So that's why Jesus gave in to the dad. He said, okay, Papa, I know what you're doing. So he took all that suffering, all them 39 lashes, plus them nails in his hand and in his feet. But guess what? He said, nah, that's my obedient son. God said, all right, Holy Spirit, bring your butt out of that tomb. And then all of a sudden, the angel went down there and moved that tomb, and Jesus walked around. And one of the ladies saw him first, didn't recognize who he was at first. And he said, go tell my apostles that I'm alive. I'm here after 3 days being in a tomb. Who else going to be there besides save Israel? I'm talking about, because see, right now, you might just got a handful, maybe 1,000, who believe in Jesus as their Messiah. But when God say, okay, I'm through with you playing folks who are non-Jew, Gentiles, you Gentiles, I'm going and talk to my people now. I'm going to mentor them. I'm going to show them powers and wisdom and miracles and everything else so they can believe who I am. Because I ain't touching the Gentiles no more. I know all, because when I go over to see the Jews again, my people, that's it for the Gentiles. Because everybody else who's left now where I'm going over there, ain't none of them getting saved, because I know exactly who's going to get saved. I kind of help them get saved, you know. So that's it. And then you got saved Israel. I said that. That's Jews, the Hebrews. And you know what? Hebrew chapter 11 talk about Jesus turn back to the Jews and get them saved. He's going to reveal himself in miracles and everything else. Then the last one, who else? Inhabitants of heaven. I'm not saying to heaven. You have heaven. You have in heaven, you got angels, all different kinds of angels. You got the elders talking about the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Jerusalem. Then you have the saved Israel. Finally, all them Jews will say, Lord, have mercy. And they go all turn to Jesus. They say, we you know, we dishonored him. We didn't respect him, didn't give him nothing. And he died for us. That was the real Jesus. We thought he's going to come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, but he had to come back as a simple sacrificial lamb first. So he came back as King of Kings. That's what they were looking for. He ain't no King of Kings. He ain't never no jive. His daddy is a carpenter. That's what he used to do. Isn't that what he used to do? So, yeah, how can he be the King of Kings? Please. I wasn't born yesterday. But so God said, okay, y'all don't believe? I'm going to grab these Gentiles. The Gentiles is everybody who is not a Jew. And then he started getting ministers and prophets and stuff, going ordaining ministers, Baptists and Catholics and all the Methodists and everything, and grabbing people up and people getting saved, you know, every day and stuff like that. And then finally when the time, and then he said, okay, I know how many of them are going to get saved. I'm going to now leave them because they ain't no more going to get saved because I know just I got the last one. So now I'm going to go over here and grab my people, my Jews, and show some miracles, healing, and all the other kind of stuff. And they're going to get saved. And then I will say, Gabriel, blow your trumpet. It's time to get out. And then God will stop in the middle there. And that angel will blow that trumpet. And all of us who know, Lord, our body be changed in a twinkling eye. Some may be home. Their body be where they can go through the ceiling, go and be with the Lord. You may have little babies in the crib. And all of a sudden, mama get up the next morning. She's not saying, she go to wake a little baby up to nurse the baby. She see the baby baby diapers in there in the bed, but no baby there. She may have twins or triplets. You see all three babies, nightgowns and stuff in the position where they sleep, but no babies in the nightgowns. The husband may wake up and find his wife, who always sleep on her side, see pajamas in that same position, say, oh, honey. And then all of a sudden she turned the TV on and say, hey, y'all, guess what? The rapture happened. And go, oh, my God, my wife been telling me, oh, my God, my husband telling me that Jesus will come back someday. And now the Bible say that. Think of my children and my husband or my wife will be gone for 7 years. Because that's what the Bible said. When the rapture occurred, they're going to be there for 7 years. And then he's going to come back after 7 years. And while he's going those 7 years, the devil's going to manifest and say, I'm here, the Lord. Now, you're going to have to worship me. And anybody who don't worship me, I'm going to put the sign. You're going to have 666 on your forehead and number 666 on your foot, on your hand. And if you refuse to get the mark of the devil, guess what? You ain't going to be able to buy nothing, go to the store, go to the drugstore, nothing. Because you got to have my sign, the devil's sign, 666 on your forehead and 666 on your hand. Otherwise, and then we're going to go around and kill you one by one by one because we know that you didn't get the sign because you now have changed your mind and accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior so you can get up there, go back up to heaven where your children are or where your husband is or your wife is kind of thing. So with respect to inhabitants of heaven, the last group is called the church. And you know who the church is. The church is us. One of the first events after the rapture, we as the church will call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we are the bride of Christ. Jesus is the groom, and we are the bride. One of the first events after the rapture will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this is when the church, that's us, the bride of Christ, will be presented to her groom. The Bible referred to us as a bride as a her. Even though man, the bride is a her kind of a thing. But you're going to have the big wedding thing up in heaven. All the saints, all believers from all over the world, all national, and we all like dressing white, getting married to Jesus. Isn't that something? Getting married to Jesus because we his bride. And it says, we are the bride of Christ, will be presented to her groom, and that's Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says. That's what the word says. One of the first events after the rapture, that's when it says rapture, that means you'll be taken up, will be the marriage supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is when what? The church, that's us, the believers, the bride of Christ will be presented to her groom. Can you imagine? We're all in white, man, and be amazed to stand in a big crowd. And then we see Jesus just ascend off the throne. And he's standing there, float up there where we all can see him because we millions and billions of human beings who accepted Christ. And we look at him and say, there's our groom. He looked at us and said, look at my bride. Look at my bride. And then he's Jesus. The New Jerusalem has been described as the wedding ring of the church. But we're going to get the new Jerusalem. He's going to rebuild Jerusalem all over again. And that is considered the wedding ring. That's considered the New Jerusalem. Like you tear down California and half of America and rebuild the whole thing just by speaking it into being. And then that's supposed to be the bride of Jesus. And then John says in one part of the Bible, when I was reading, John writes, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. That's us, the church, a great multitude from every nationality, of all nations, people, and tongues. I mean, you got French, Spanish, Germans, over. Let me say that again. John writes in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, he says this, because God gave him this revelation, remember? John writes, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, all nations and all kindreds and people and tongues stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. That's Revelation 7:9. Just read that to you. Chapter 7, Revelation 9. And then you have the triune God. Heaven is, of course, the eternal home of each member of the Trinity. It's the home of the Trinity God. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They be back together because they're all separated doing their own thing. Heaven is, of course, the eternal home of each member of the Trinity. And each member is three, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Father sits upon the throne in heaven. And John saw Jesus standing in heaven. Though not as prominent, the Holy Spirit also lives in heaven and is twice quoted in John's account of his experience. Amen. Now, then the last part I want to tell you about heaven is called the activities of heaven. The activities, remember I said, you have fellowship, you have a life of rest where you don't need to rest, but we have a life of rest because God will give us that time. We have a life of service. We all have ordained to do certain things while we're up in heaven. It's not sitting on a cloud 24/7, but we have things to do. We have a life of growth. When it's a life of growth, that means we're going to grow in leaps and bounds spiritually, because we're going to know that Bible inside out. Some of them say, hey, quote Elijah 6:2 to me. You can blah, 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 right on out, just right there with no problem. How about Matthew 10:6? Blah, 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 right on out. Because we have it in our spirit. Because we have the mind of Christ, and we be able to remember things. That somebody down here on earth might be too hard to remember something, but up there, we have a new spiritual body, y'all. And then when God tells us something, it's stuck there forever. You know, what did he say? I don't remember. Did we have that last week? It'll be no such thing. You'll be able to communicate it like it happened 2 minutes ago. You had the mind of Christ. The attributes of heaven. Heaven. Heaven is thought of in terms of angels sitting on clouds. I just got through saying that. I'm looking at a little quick note I have here. Heaven is thought of in terms of angels sitting on clouds with harps and singing in a choir. At best, this is a small part of heaven. The Bible says, though described as the eternal rest of the believers, heaven will be a very active place. And what active? I say active. How can it be active? Well, the Bible says we're going to have a life of fellowship. We will enjoy communion with the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity, fellowship with him. And they shall see his face, and we'll see his face and everything. Can you imagine that? Hey, Jesus, he might be walking past you. Hey, my child, praise the Lord. Nice seeing you. Good morning, Lord. Good morning. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And that kind of thing. We've seen it. Christ predicts our future unity with him. Let me say that again. Christ already predicted our future unity with him. He said, I will come again. This is what John 14:3 says. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's John 14:3. Then he says this. Not only is a place of activities, but a place of fellowship. We fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We fellowship with each other. We can fellowship with the angels. We can fellowship with the apostles. Okay? And then there's a life of rest. See, one of the results of sins was the curse of fall of toil and sweat. But, you know, before we got saved, man, we were sweating, working 24 hours a day, never making enough money, and working two and three jobs and all this other kind of stuff. Well, the Bible says a life of rest. One of the results of sin was the curse of toil and sweat in a life of work. When we arrive at heaven, we will continue to work, but the agony of the labor will be done. We won't have all that agony and stuff like that. We can work with pleasure. Blessed are the Bible says, blessed are the dead in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, it says the Spirit, that they may rest from the labors, from their labors. All right. What other kind of activity? I said we have fellowship with each other. We'll be able to rest when God, because we have our special assignment, stuff like that. What else do you do in heaven? A life of service. God going to give us specific things to do, you know, a life of service. We will work in heaven, but rather than dread the thought of labor and suffer the physical pain from grueling, you know, working so hard, we will enjoy, the Bible says, we will enjoy our work, and the curse will be gone, and the servant shall serve him. That's Revelation 22:3. I'm just trying to kick out something. But everything I'm saying to you is right in the book of Revelation. And then what else are you going to have? I said a life of service. Then we're going to have a life of growth. And basically what it's saying is, that's in Revelation 22:2, where we start learning the word. I mean, because you won't be around nobody but Christians. And then we had the mind of Christ too. And when we read something, we remember. I can't remember where I saw that. I can't recite that scripture. I ain't never tried to miss you. You would know. Because when you read it, boom, it'll be transported right into your spirit. Somebody walk up to you and say, recite Matthew, so and so me. Recite Jeremiah 4:6. Just like that. Because we had the mind of Christ. A life of growth. You be growing and learning the word of God more and more. And then you have a life of worship. Boy, can you imagine? When we go to church, we're the church, and we go into the throne of God, and we be praising God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's millions and millions of angels and millions of believers all can circle that throne of God. And you know, God, we got TV where we can see what's going on in another county, another city, another state or whatever, another country. Well, I won't be surprised, but all the millions and millions of people behind the throne, and we supposed to be worshiping the Lord. I bet the Lord can get some mechanical kind of thing where everybody, I don't care if you're a mile back because you got so many people around singing at the throne, can you imagine that's like having 300 stadiums all in one place, you know, and everybody can't be on the front line. But everybody on that last row can see just as better as the person on the front row. Because God the one gave us TV and television. We can see what's going on in other cities and other states right now. So it's going to be a life in which we all go before the throne. The Bible says, Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry, the Father seeketh such to worship him. Because in John 4:23, since the Father wanted people to worship him while they were on earth, it will not change when they get to heaven. When he wanted us to worship him on earth, when we get to heaven, it will not change. He still desires our worship and praise. And after these things, he said, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And so in closing, I want to say this. God has certainly prepared a very special place for us all, for every one of us, a lovely place for us to spend what eternity. I didn't say a couple of years, 100 years, but to spend eternity with him. You know what else? The Bible tells us how we can know with certainty that we have eternal life and a place in heaven with God. That's in John 5:24. And anyone who will trust Christ as personal Savior will be admitted into the kingdom of heaven, God's kingdom. And repeat that. Anyone who would trust Christ as personal Savior will be admitted into the heaven. And it's called the new birth. That's when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The new birth. Don't play with it. Remember, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, that's when the Holy Spirit comes dwelling you. But say a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe you tell me, man, I kind of miss doing this. I kind of miss her. I kind of miss him. I kind of miss doing this. And you do it. Guess what? The Holy Spirit will exit your body. See, a lot of people around here hanky-panky doing it, and they don't even know the Holy Spirit is gone. They say, they don't know I'm going, John. I'm not going to hang in an unclean vessel. What do I look like laying in some man's body? I'm dwelling in some man's body while he's laying on top of some woman. Or why should I be in some woman and she laying on top of a husband, or not a husband, but some man, a boyfriend, and he laying on top of her, and that Holy Spirit says, ain't no way I'm sitting in this unfiled body. You think the Holy Spirit will sit in your body while you committing fornication, adultery, all that stuff, and masturbating and doing all my things? Ain't no way, Jose. So the new birth is the only prerequisite to gain admission, the new birth. Simply asking Christ telling you sorry for your sins and asking you to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. And finally, I want to say what a shame it would be to know all about heaven and never see it. Can't you imagine that? Simply because we put off getting saved. And, you know, I remember I played that game when I was much younger, and I'm finished with this. And I said, man, I ain't getting saved right now. I'm just 24. Man, I got parties to go to. I got games to play, man. Got the bars where I can go drink me some beer, a little liquor here, and a little wine, have some fun and jam. Man, if I go and get saved, man, I got to go, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Jesus love you. I love you too, Jesus. Say, amen. Not right now. I ain't ready for that. But thank the Lord, man. He stuck with me till I was 40. Man, I had to party and jam and everything else. And then, boy, when that man walked in my office and said, John, your number's up. I go, huh? And I was a big-time executive working with Atlanta. I was a deacon in the church, too. And he said, the Lord said, if you die tonight, you're not going to enter the kingdom. And this was the command of the whole base. And I look at this man and say, man, are you crazy? What are you going to tell me if I die? He said, I'm just telling you what the Lord said. I'm born again. I said, but you were a soldier. He said, soldiers. He said, I run this base, but soldiers get saved too. And then he told me some things personally that I know he wouldn't know. And I said, Lord, this man really hearing God. He said, would you let it get saved? I said, heck yeah, man, I ain't stupid. And that white colonel led me to the Lord, and my whole life changed. The first thing I did when I got home, I called my wife and said, baby, I'm sorry for the way I treat you. I holler at you. Sometimes I cuss at you, scream at you and stuff like that. And kids come in, you know, and sometimes I'd be hollering at you guys, you know, trying to control you beyond, you know, common sense, stuff like that. I'm sorry. And by the way, the Lord said he loves you guys, and he wants y'all to get saved, too. He don't want y'all to get to heaven. You know, my kids got down and prayed and asked Christ into their heart. So they saw my attitude and my ways changed. They said, Daddy, we want to be with the Lord like you, too. And lastly, we should receive Christ as our personal Savior right now. That way, we'll never meet, in case we never meet again. So all you got to do is just remember, just say, Lord, I'm sorry for all my sins. He knows you're there. I did this. You say, I'm sorry for all my sins. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And most of all, I believe you, Jesus. You're not just a white man or just a Jew who's crazy thinking you're all this. And we know you came from a carpenter. You ain't no God. Your dad is a carpenter, Joseph. You know, no. To get saved, you just say three things. One, I believe that you're the Son of God. Number two, I am sorry for all my sins. You know what they are, Lord. And number three, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. You do that, that's when the Holy Spirit steps into your body. And then your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. With that, I'm through. God bless you, and hope you enjoyed it. And I hope I didn't keep a lot of you up there, because I know some of you probably want to go to bed and go to sleep. But God bless you. And I never thought I'd be doing this at 80, y'all. Some people say, John, you don't even sound like you're 80. You sound like you're about 50 or 60. You don't sound like you're 80. Well, I never had any medicine. I never spent one day in the hospital. I guess that's why God was seeing me all the time. Every time I would get my physical, the nurse would say, hey, come that man again. Hey, that's Brother John. And they said, well, we're going to see what you got this time. They asked me 40 questions. On the sheet. Did you ever have this? Did you have them? Did you have those? Did you have these? And I got not applicable. All right, 40 are not applicable down there. And then the nurse, and then when the doctor say, you got through with John, here's his report. And he's looking at, and people, about 30, 40 of them in the waiting room, and the doctor hollered through the little microphone that come through, said, Mr. John, are you lying? Now you 75. Mr. John, now you 78. Now, Mr. John, now you 80. And you talking about you ain't never had no sickness. Is that like that? I said, no. And then one of them tried to treat me. Well, tell me, what kind of medication are you on? And I say, I don't know. What you mean you don't know? I ain't never been sick, Doc. Giving people the Lord have mercy. And now, especially when I went in the other day on my birthday, in November, and I had to put none. Did you have this? Nope. 40 no's again. And he looked at me and said, man, what's your situation? I said, well, God must be still got a purpose for me. He ain't ready for me to go. And so here I am, 80, going on 81, and I ain't sick. Oh, and then they tried to trick me. Oh, by the way, you forgot to answer this question. What medication are you allergic to, Brother John? What medication are you allergic to? I go, I don't know. Well, you're stupid. How come you don't know? I ain't never been sick. It's, oh, God, that's right. So I close with that. And God love you, and so do I. And you be blessed. Amen, amen, and amen. Good night, all.